synchronistic that yesterday afternoon we had a patient who is doing very poorly, and his wife was calling a post-sick to ask him end-of-life questions, and wanted me to be there with her to help kind of explain what the questions were to her post-sick. And what the story had turned out was that basically the patient had Shabbos, and she didn't think it was severe enough to take him to the hospital, so she waited, and it got worse, and now he's doing really, really poorly. Anyways, what I thought was especially interesting, it's sad, first of all, but also this rabbi who she was talking to, and I was like, he could tell I was in the room because I was like talking kind of also through her to him. At the end of the conversation, he says to her, could you put the hospital rabbi on the phone? So he puts me on the phone and he says, do you know who her rabbi is? I said, I'll find out why. He said, you need to call him and tell him that he needs to do a better job teaching his community that they should be very careful to not, you know, be so cautious about not breaking Shabbos. They should be more encouraged that they have to do everything they can for a safek sakana. And that's the rabbi's responsibility. You need to tell him. I said, okay, I'll tell him. And I was like, oh, that's exactly what we were talking about today. It's like, it's exactly the point. So I haven't called him yet because I'm like anxious about it, but I will do it. But I just thought, wow, that was like, we had this conversation today. And it came up, and I mean, who knows, like, if that's that was actually the cause of how severe his illness became, but it sounds like it might have been. So anyways, what we're going to talk about today is in some ways really the main point of our three-part series, meaning yesterday the goal was to give us a lot of just kind of like have some time to discuss the major concepts and see what some of the sugyas are and the major points that we need to be familiar with. Today, the goal is, okay, well, there are a number of categories and specific categories, and each category of illness has different rulings. And I made some charts that I will be showing you, and I'll send them out also, and to help us kind of see them. And then I want to show you one specific category that's not dealt with sufficiently, but I think is a massive problem and something that we need to spend some time talking about. And I think once we get there, I think you'll agree with me because we see that this is a big issue today, but it's not dealt with enough. And then tomorrow, once we have like this basic grounding of the categories of cholim, we can see some really important exceptions and heterim that exist in the postgame that also I've seen from my experience are not well known. I mean, those of you who spend time studying Torah, I'm sure you will have seen these concepts before, but it's good to spend some time really going into them and like seeing the implications of these concepts. And they're important because people who don't spend time like all of you studying Torah, even very observant and learned Jews are not familiar with these concepts. So, you know, it'll be an important discussion. So I'll share my screen now and we'll start. And what we'll do is go min ha-kaved el ha-kala. Just do it that way. I'm not sure why, but I think just because yesterday we already spoke about, you know, suffix sakana, sakanas nefashos, dangerous, you know, people who are life-threatening illness. So we'll kind of just like continue from there and then work our way down. Because also that's the most obvious. So let me share my screen. This sheet now, I tried, and Rabbanit Dvorah pointed out, and she's right, that there was a lot of repetition on the sheet yesterday. The truth is, I went through it last night and cleaned it up a little bit. There was some unintentional repetition. There was some intentional repetition. So this sheet is better now that I'm sharing with you. And also I added some stuff that I just didn't want to distract you with. So I'll send this out again when we're finished. And you'll have here a more complete sheet. But the first category, and this is really reviewed from yesterday, but it just bears basic, quick kind of repeating because it is so important, is what we call a chole sheyesh bo sakana. A dangerously ill patient. For a chole sheyesh bo sakana, we do everything we can, even if there's a suffix, even if we're not sure, even if the doctor's not sure, but there's a chance that someone's life could be threatened, we do everything at all costs to save their life. And this is the Shulchan Aruch, which says, Mishyesh to chole sheyesh bo sakana, mitzvah lechalel alav es ha-shabbos. It's a mitzvah. It's not just a reshus, right? It's a mitzvah. The hazaris harezei meshubach v'shol harezei shofech damim. You even ask, that is... that could be bloodshed. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on, and we're skipping around here a little bit. We're going to kind of be going back and forth, but this is just because this is the category. Kol cholish erofim orim shusakana. If the doctors say there's danger, afa pishahu ala basim v'chus, even though it's external. I'll talk about why he says that, because there's another category of makashal chalal, of internal illnesses that the rabbis were concerned about. But even if it's external, mechalin alav es haShabbos, because the doctors are concerned, even though you think, oh, it's not a big deal. Mechal haShabbos. Im rofe echad omer tzarich, rofe echad omer eino tzarich, kalin. If there's a dispute amongst the doctors, we are strict. V'yesh misha omer she'ein tzarich mumcha. You don't even need an expert. We read this yesterday, right? It's quote, t'chol b'nei adam chashuvim mumchim ksas, v'selfing nefashos l'hakam. We are lenient. And then there's the debate about whether or not that applies for only Yehudim or not. Sif Yud Aleph, and it goes on. Chol sheyesh b'sakana shamdu b'yom Shabbos shetarich lasos the refua yadua sheyesh b'malachas chilo Shabbos shmona yamim. Let's say it's going to take 8 days. So should you just say, well, let me wait till after Shabbos? Ein omrim natimah halayla. Don't wait until Saturday night till Motzei Shabbos. V'nimsa shalo lechalav ela Shabbos achas ela yasu miyad right away. Afal pish mechalin lav shtei Shabbosos. Another one. So just pointing out all of these. All of these categories, and this one, honestly, is probably a little bit of a difficult source, but we're not gonna erase it. I just will call out that I'm sure people find this to be upsetting in some ways, but I'll just explain the way I think it makes most sense. Kishimachalin Shabbos al Chol Shesh B'Sakana Mishtadlin Shelo Lasos Ayideinu Yehudi V'Ketani V'Nashim Ela Ayidei Yisraelim Gedolim V'Bnei Das. You should do it. You don't ask a child or someone who's not Jewish to do it. Rather, you do it. Now, obviously, and then you can probably all deal with this better than I can, but it is obviously uncomfortable to read that. Like, why can't women do that? But the truth is, and the truth is in the context of this year, I mean, if you ask them to do it, they're going to not be learned enough to know that it's an exception, and therefore they're going to think you can always just break Shabbos because you don't have to explain. So nowadays, thank God that we have, come to a generation where women are much better. Real quick, just add here was, people, if we act in certain ways, they're saying, be mechallel Shabbos, break Shabbos to save a life. But they're concerned, oh, people are going to see you doing that, and they're not going to know those nuances. So obviously, if you live in a world where people recognize nuances and they're learning enough, so it doesn't apply in the same way. Or they are concerned that people won't rush in the same way. If we believe it's a mitzvah, you have to break Shabbos to save life, and we really believe in saving life, then we're going to rush more to do it. Anyways, those are the concerns. I'm just pointing it out because, it is a difficult source. I mean, I see it could be offensive to people, but instead of just, ignoring that it could be offensive. But anyways, the theory is, it's just part of this this strong emphasis on do everything you can to save life. And the Ramah then adds, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, v'yesh omrim v'im efshar lasos b'lo dichui, b'lo ichur, ayideh shinui, if you can do it with the shinui, to make it less of a prohibition, but it won't impact things at all. Like, let's say you're going to call an elevator. We'll talk about this in a minute. You have to call an elevator at the hospital. Okay, so what's the big deal if you push the elevator with your knuckle or not? But if the doctor's doing surgery, you don't want the doctor to do surgery, with the shinui. So if it's no big deal, then yeah, then do a shinui. The Eshel Asos Ayyadei Inu Yehudi, Bavo Ichor Klal, Osin Ayyadei Inu Yehudi V'chein Hagin, Avav V'makum De Yesh Lachosh Yes Atzel Inu Yehudi, En Lasos Ayyadei Inu Yehudi. So if it will be any slower, then don't. We saw some of these sources yesterday, just, Kol HaZari is raising Meshubach. We saw that already. He repeats it. The Shulchan Aruch repeats this a few times. I think he's really just trying to emphasize the point. And the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, just makes an interesting point here, where he concludes by saying, even though we said, don't ask a Shaila, he said, Aval, b'chol she'ein zmano bahul, vadi yesh she'elot. Okay, if it's not a rush, you can ask a Shaila. So the question is, how much of a rush is it? And how do we kind of like, I think that there's a really important point, especially in this Nishmas Avraham on the next page, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman just makes the same point that I made yesterday, makes it elsewhere, that I just want to emphasize it again, about this concept of using Rodef to help us understand. So he uses this again elsewhere in the Shemir Shabbos. He says, Mandik bas suffix kan. How do we know when it's a suffix? Shemati Megon Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arabach, Dehechi Sheha Rodef, Hamachla, Kvar Nimsa Begufa Adam, Reze Bechal Bekuach Nefesh. Ulam Lo Mikre Rodef, Elim Kein Matzevo, Shalachula Olech Vera, Mashain Kein Im Ein Shinui, So it depends on if there is actually the illness there and it's actually causing some kind of impact. But the main sort of practical advice in terms of how do we start asking ourselves or you all, let's say you're asked now by a congregant and they want to know, should we rush to the hospital? So the Nishmas Avraham gives a good call. And the truth is, this isn't the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to see it. But he just says it clearly. He says, Afapisha ain bosa kana bimnias adavra, who even though this certain action might not be related to the danger, kivan shaholi yesh bosa kana, but if there is a danger for that person, yesh badavra tzorach sas v'regilin lasos lo b'chol, if there is a need and you would do that during the week, osin gam b'shabbos. The main question is, if there's something you would do during the week, in other words, you wouldn't wait. So let's say, you know, something happens and you would say, you know what, okay, tonight when I get off of work, I'll go to the urgent care, I'll go to the emergency room, but I don't have to go right now, I'm busy. So then obviously you shouldn't break Shabbos for something that you wouldn't do it if it was just a weekday. You can't say, well, it's Shabbos, so I'm free. I have a lot of free time, you know, I'm not busy today, so I'll go to the emergency room now because I'm going to be busy tomorrow. That you can't, that's harder to justify. But when it's something that you would do during the week, that's part of one of the first kind of clawing that we have in terms of, okay, here's how I know if I should do it today on Shabbos. If I would do it right now on a weekday, I'm going to do it right now on Shabbos. Here, just to show you some practical rulings to help make this clear. There's just these sources we actually saw yesterday. This we'll come back to it. So here's another one. So I mentioned Mishneh Achronah, the Sefer from Rabbi Lichtenstein that I like a lot. So I think this is a really, really profound, and I use this a lot in the hospital in particular. Here's what he says. He writes, so this could be in a hospital, but it could be at home. Someone's dangerously ill. And we're going to talk in a second, and I'll show you, I'm going to pull up in a second on my screen, some examples. But anyways, he says, so someone who's dangerously ill, it's light in the room, they can't sleep. And you can't just move them, their bed doesn't have wheels. Or you can't just cover the light. Mutar lichbot et ha'or, you can turn off the light. Shishina yafe lechola, because it's helpful for them to be able to sleep. Fi asuya l'sayev ripuya, and it can help them heal. Ubli ashina efshar shiichabed alav acholi v'stakinot, and it can become more dangerous for them, even worse. Ukmo kein kishiyakit zacher kach, and when they wake up in the morning, or in the middle of the night, whatever it is, mutar lahadlik bishvilo et ha'or, you can turn on the light. But if someone else can do it, who's in a Yehudi, easily, okay, if that's possible, you could. But turning off and on lights is one example where we can allow malacha. Yes,
Lisa. Sorry, maybe you said this already, but who is this and when did they live?
Oh, it's Rabbi David Lichtenstein. He's a businessman in Muncie. Who I just want to pull up something. He's a businessman in Muncie who hosts weekly podcast. The honest truth is, I happen to know that he actually didn't write it himself. He has like a team of people that helped him with it. But anyways, it's just this contemporary. I have it right here. It's this contemporary book. He has two volumes on Chelek Gimel of Mishneh Berurah, and it's just he does a really nice job of summarizing contemporary poskim, and he's very intellectually honest in terms of showing differences of opinions, quoting from a wide range of poskim from different camps, so to speak. And so I personally just enjoy it for that reason.
The thing that I think is interesting there is that depending on when it's written, the question is it an incandescent bulb, which is a Doraita, or is it a CFL, fluorescent, whatever, and that's Darabanan. And it's, yeah, if it's point. Contemporary, then probably he's living in a world where light bulbs are Darabanan anyways.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. But
although we don't really know how he holds.
Well, look, I mean, I'm looking at the footnotes here right now, and he's quoting Mishneh Berurah, Bir Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, which seems to imply to me that he might be talking about fire, which would certainly be Deraisa. Mm-hmm. And since we know that one can violate even a Deraisa for Kol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana, I think that it could likely say that he's even referring to a malacha of Deraisa, an incandescent bulb.
Yeah. Thanks.
Here's another example. Just to show another few quick examples of what we can do for Kol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana. This is from the same book. He says, Kol HaShiyesh Bo Sakana mutar likarov mishpacha, or the chol adam acher, shiyesh lechol bo imun. Anyone that person trusts or you know just needs their support, that person is permitted linsoa yachad imo lebeit acholim kedei lavato uliyashev et dato. A person can travel with them in the car in order to just provide comfort and support to them.
It's not only government support. I know my husband is a doctor in the hospital, and he says that, like, he's in the in, like, internal clinic, and people who don't have people that come with them, it's, like, much worse. And sometimes they become just sicker because no one, like, makes sure that everything is okay and notices, like, differences and things. But for people with families, it's, like, it's crucial.
Definitely, I agree. And there's that fascinating Chazon Ish, actually, where he allows for someone to be Mechal Shabbos as well, to do Bikur Cholim, because of the concern that the person will be alone on Shabbos. And just the fact that the staff sees the person there and they have someone to advocate for them. Yeah, good point. So especially we talk about a Chol Shesh B'Sakana, a lot is allowed for them, right? We can do almost anything. And then Shosav from here says, anyone, for example, who is intubated, they're automatically considered to be a Chol Shesh B'Sakana. That's one example. Sleep apnea. This is a common question. A lot of the BiPAP machines and these sleep apnea machines, these breathing machines, they require even sometimes boiling water, and they can have Isuri Deraisa involved. And if that person can be categorized as a Chol Shesh B'Sakana, it depends on their particular situation, but that could be considered. He includes here. This is also from Nishal Safram. He includes using an elevator, mutar la'avir chol shesh b'sakana b'ma'alit regila, komas l'chaverta, to different floors, v'af habari mutar l'lavto b'ma'alit, even the healthy person can go with them in the elevator. Good, CPAP machine on Shabbos, exactly. So that's what he's saying. Okay, this could be definitely justified. I have, I'll show you real quick before we go to the next category, which is a little bit more complicated, once we get to chol shesh ein b'sakana. Let me show you real quick from, let me just figure out how to pull it up real quick. I'll show you from my book on hospital issues. I just did a little research on, like, what do the poskim say? What are some examples of illnesses that poskim say actually cholim sheyesh behem sakana? So here's a little list that of just what I found. One who has a serious heart condition, diabetes, substantially elevated blood pressure, kidney disease, severe depression, or any other serious condition which may potentially be life-threatening. So all of the very high fever, over 102 degrees. These are things, I mean, kidney disease, diabetes, I don't know. I think some people, when they hear this phrase, chol shesh b'sakana, they think like, oh, it's someone who's like dying. But it's not just someone who's like about to die. I mean, many of these people, as you've seen in some of the sources already, we're hoping that they're going to recover, actually. It's not end-of-life patients. It's just people who there is some risk to their life. So it's a pretty broad category of what we can consider someone to be a chol shesh b'sakana, and then we can do anything for them, right? Whatever is needed for them, we do it. So that's category number one. But now we go to, yes, Dahlia.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when to ask this, but because you mentioned depression, like, how does mental health play into this in terms of considering people within certain categories, particularly if it's like an ongoing situation?
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So I'll save it. It's an important point. And we're going to talk about it. So I'll show you a few sources already that I have prepared on it, and it's going to be addressed. So thank you for bringing it up. Important, very important. Okay, so chol shesh ein bo sakana, and also sakana t'aver, danger to limb. So this is based on a Gemara. The truth is, there is a little bit of a contradiction in the Gemara. First of all, from the Gemara itself, it's not totally clear if it's permissible to ask someone who's not Jewish. There seems to be a steer between the Gemaras. So it's all, and then in the Rishonim, there's tremendous, significant debate. And so we'll just go straight to the Shulchan Aruch, because I'll show you, because it summarizes basically exactly what the Gemaras say and the differences of opinions within the Rishonim. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Now we're at Yud Zayin. So we've been always in so far Shin Chav Ches, right? 328, but we've been jumping all over the place, right? Because that's just the way it's organized for some reason. So now we go to Chol Shesh Ein Bo Sakana. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows here. Pull up in the middle there. So it says, chol shenafal, now this is the definition right here. Chol shenafal machmas choliv lemishkan, someone who's so sick that they need to lay down. that ain't supposed to kind of, but they're not in danger, right? I think we could all imagine such a case where it's just like, okay, I just need to lay down. I don't think there's any chance I'm going to die, God forbid, but I really just need to lay down. I have a headache or I'm just like not feeling right. I just didn't sleep good last night. I need to lay down, right? So this is a chole she'ein bo sakana. The Rama adds, or sheyesh lo michush, they have an illness, a pain, shemitzar v'chole menu kol gufo, their whole body just feels off, like systemically. It's like, right, their body just feels off. She'az afa pisha holich kenafot lemishkav dami. Then even though they're walking around and doing stuff, they are considered as if they're laying down, right? So in that case, that category is now what we call a chole she'ein bo sakana. They are a chole, but they're not in danger. In that case, omrim le'enu yehudi la'asos lo refua aval ein mechalin alav es ha'shabes be'isser de'oraisa. Afilu yesh bo sakana seif. We can ask someone who's not Jewish to do something for them, but we cannot do an isser de'oraisa for them. Right? So it's different than a chole she'yesh bo sakana because we have to ask someone who's not Jewish. This is the Rambam. For a Jew to do a derabanan directly with them, some allowed, even if their limbs are not in danger. The Yesh Omrim, this is the Ran, She'im Yesh Bosakanas Aver, only if they have danger to limb, then Osin, then the Jew can do a derabanan. Ain Bosakanas Aver, Ain Osin, but if not, they can't. The Yesh Omrim, I underline this because this is what the Mishnah Berurah is going to say, is what we follow. This is the Ramban. And I underlined it here now. The Yesh Omrim She'im Ein Bo Sakanas Eiver Osin B'Shinui. So now a Jew can do a rabbinic prohibition with a Shinui, or a non-Jew can do anything with a Shinui. V'im Yesh Bo Sakanas Eiver, and if there's danger to limb, Osin B'Lo Shinui. A Jew can do a rabbinic prohibition without a Shinui. The Yesh Omrim. Then there's another opinion. Afilu Yesh Bo Sakanas Eiver Ein Osin Lo Davar Shus Nismach L'Malachas Deraisa. You can't do something that's like a Deraisa with Devarim She'ein Behem Smach L'Malacha Osin Afilu Ein Bo Sakanas Eiver V'Divrei Hasvara Ashlishis Niri. And we follow the third one, which is why I underlined that opinion. So basically, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah real quick on this, and then I'll try to give a summary and I'll show you some more examples. So the Mishnah Berurah says here a couple of important points. So you can Omri, you can ask an Anju, but Daka should start clear food b'Shabbos Atzma. Now we get a little bit stricter. After you need that intervention on Shabbos, Akasha ain't Srich La B'Shabbos Yanti Mag Motzi Shabbos of Akashia Sakana Asulanti. But if there's any danger, obviously don't wait. The Mishnah Berurah then goes on to say also Omri Le'enu Yudi La Sosar Fua Afilu B'Malacha De'Oraisa. You can ask an Anju even to do a Malacha De'Oraisa. It's only that a Jew can only do a Derabanan, the Shinui. And then he concludes, Osi b'shinui ha'inu ha'isr d'rabbanan ve'ein tzarech ha'kapes achar inu Yehudi. You can just do the shinui, and you don't have to look for inu Yehudi, even though the Nishmas Avram writes there that if you have a choice, it's better to have the inu Yehudi. Now, interestingly, this whole thing, you know, it's just this whole topic of Amir la'akum, just as a quick side point, is, you know, it is a rabbinic, as you know, right, it's a rabbinic kind of gezeirah, right? The rabbis were concerned whether it was about shlichus, that we become they become our agent, or dover dover, that we're using the terms, we're talking about malacha. So the rabbis didn't want us to do amir la'akum, to ask people to do things for us. But it's technically not forbidden by the Torah, right? It was rabbinic. So the rabbis were able to say, okay, when it comes to a chole she'ein bo sakana, we are not enacting that prohibition. There are some times when amir la'nachri does not apply. For example, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have a halacha that you can ask someone who's not Jewish to write a shtar if you bought a house in Israel on Shabbos. Because the rabbi said, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is so important that there's no Isser of Amir Lanachri in order to, you know, buy your house in Israel on Shabbos. So there are just certain times when it just doesn't apply. And this is important. I mean, in the hospital every week, every single week, right? Fridays, helping people like get ready for Shabbos. So in the hospital, I think many patients are cholim she'ein behem sakana. Obviously, I think many, many, many are cholim she'yesh behem sakana. They have to be in the hospital. But it could very, very easily could have a case where it's not a cholim she'yesh behem sakana, but they're in the hospital. So they always ask, okay, Rabbi, what do I do? What do I need to know for Shabbos? And one thing I always tell them is there is no prohibition against asking a non-Jew anything. You don't have to start hinting or trying to figure out how you're going to ask with the remez, whatever. You're allowed to ask whatever you need, right? And then we see now there's also the shinui, a derabanan with the shinui. So I think one of you, maybe not, oh, you mentioned the lights. So like the call button is always a question. So I always tell people, so you can use the call button. In fact, when I wrote in that book, to use the call button with the screenwriter I put there, I first wrote, ask your nurse to check in on a regular basis so you don't have to push the call button. But if you have to, push it with the screenwriter. And one of the rabbis in town, I asked a few rabbis to review it so that like people would actually listen to what I wrote there. So it's not just Jason writing, it's actually has some authority. So one rabbi in town read it. He said, you got to take that line out. So I was like, what do you mean? Isn't it better to not have to push the button? He said, no, it's a chil Hashem to have to tell the nurse that for the Jewish patients, they have to check in so frequently, just push the button. Let them not be such a pain in the neck. Let Jews realize that they don't have to be so entitled. I thought it was a really important point. You know what they do, by the way, in Israel? I know many of you are in Israel. I spent one summer at Shari Tzedek, learning a lot of stories that I told actually yesterday were from that summer. So in Shari Tzedek, they have tzomet. They have the tzomet button. So it's with a grumma. It's a grumma machine. No light turns on, and it's through a grumma. So it's and it's for a chola. But I spent the day at Maaneh HaYeshua. You know, that hospital, Maaneh HaYeshua, is in Bnei Brak. That's the Haredi hospital. It is really a Haredi hospital. What they do there, it's so interesting. They don't like grandma stuff. So they have, for the patients there, they push a button and it's hydraulic. It's an air pump. And outside of their room, the light's already on. It's like a Shabbos lamp. It just simply turns the cover so it uncovers the light. And so it just exposes the light. In addition to that, there is a bell at the nurse's station. You can't make bells on Shabbos, but there's a bell that the whole Shabbos it's ringing, but it's covered by a huge steel bowl, so you can't hear it. But when you push the hydraulic pump in your room, it for a second lifts the bowl and exposes the bell that's already ringing the whole Shabbos, and the nurses can hear the bell for a second. They look up, they see, oh, that room has now been exposed, the light's on, and then they go come in. So that's how they do it there. So anyways, I thought that was interesting. A couple more points about Chol HaShe'im Bo Sakana, and then I'll show you some more examples of that. I just thought this was an interesting source here. First, let's just look at this. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Lamed Zion. This is now something that I forgot to mention. Why are we talking about this? In most of the cases, they were not talking about this in the Shulchan Aruch because they wanted to know when you should drive on Shabbos or when you should call the nurse, right? Those were not issues that they were worried about. But the issue was grinding herbs to make medicine, shchika samamani, right? That, when do we apply the gezeira that we can't make medicine on Shabbos? So we only apply that to a mechush ba'alma, to someone who's not very sick, as we'll talk about in just a minute. So, first of all, it's important to point out that does not apply for a chol hashem. It's kind of kol ochlim mashim shem maifal brim. Anything that healthy people eat, mutar la'achlam, but lishtosan, you can eat healthy, even though you're eating it. Af bishahem, kashim l'ksas brim, even though not everyone would eat that. Mucha, milsa, derfu avi, even though it's clear that you're eating that food, I don't know what an example would be, kale or something. You're only eating it for health reasons, even though some people are disgusted by it. Afilu hafid shari, even still, it's allowed. Maybe grapefruit would be a good example. V'chol she'enu Michael mashkabrim, asher lo'ochlo lishtos refu. You can't do something for healing on Shabbos. Just one second, Eliza. You can't do it on Shabbos because it is medicine. V'dafka mishi yesho mechush ba'alma. This is only talking about someone who has a mechush ba'alma, who is chazi holy kabari, and they are just walking around totally healthy. Aval im ein lo shum mechush mutar. If they're not sick at all, it's allowed. V'cheni nafal l'mishkav shari. So if they're totally healthy, they could do it. Or if they're a little bit sick, they can do it. It's just if they're kind of not feeling well, then they can't. If it's mechush ba'alma, that's when they can't. Yes, Eliza.
Is there anyone who says that like this concern doesn't exist anymore because nobody has a compounding facility in their house? Nobody's actually grinding their own medicine. So we should ignore the gezeira because we're not worried anybody's going to grind medicine.
There are some who say that. The vast, vast majority don't. Because, for example, some say that if there's anywhere in the world where they still grind medicines, then that still applies. Then the gezeira still applies. Some of the poskim say, and this from Avram quotes this, that we don't actually know the reason for the gezeira. The rabbis told us one reason, but there might be more to it. And the truth is, there is some, I mean, I don't know, I actually do grind medicine for my kids. I don't grind it from scratch, but we cut up their pills and stuff for the dosages. I mean, I don't know if it's totally, we definitely can be more makel today because we're not really grinding the same way. But It's a good question. It is a good question. It's a difficult issue, but that is why there's a tradition that many postgame, they don't ignore it altogether, but they tend to lean towards being inside. I came across an interesting talk of Rev Zilberstein that I put it here because I think it's related, but it might not be, but it's just worth seeing. I just didn't know the right place to put it to organize it. He just writes, Amar Gon Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, again, in the Soloveitchik tradition, Harav Mibris, the Rofei once said to a doctor, this is talking about Yom Kippur, Pekuach Nefesh, Ein Perishur Sheke Eis Yistakim Yomos, is not talking about someone who's about to die right now. Ela Im Hatzom Yashpia Alav Ka'avur Shanim, but if fasting now will lead to an illness that will cause them to die years later, Kasher Yitkaf Shum B'machal, once they get sick again, the Ekev Tzom Zeh Yamut Lifnei Zmano, and because of fasting today, they will die before they should have died years from now. Gam Zeh Bechla B'Kuach Nefesh Hu V'Chayev Ke'es Lechol. I think I just felt like it goes here because, you know, even though we're being a little bit more strict now and saying, okay, there are some things that are not, a person's not sick enough to be Mechal HaShabbos, we have to be careful because if, you know, sometimes waiting can lead to someone getting sicker by waiting, and that could be very problematic. Also, by the way, the Aruch HaShulchan is important here too, just in terms of categorizing what we say is a cholish ein bo sakana. When we said that there has to be someone who's either laying down or feels that they need to lay down, or they're just kind of their whole body just feels wrong, he says, "Ach mishiyesh no mechu shalidezei nechash kol gufov ach shmischalzik v'holech ach hilucho." Even if it's just that they're walking around, but they're walking around b'chveidut, it's like heavy b'chalishus, they're just weak, right? Vidino kenafal the mishkan becholish ein bo sakana. That is also considered cholish ein bo sakana. That is sick enough that we can ask a non-Jew or we can do a derabanan with a shinoi for them. Now, all this time, I have been saying that, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch said, right? That you can do either a non-Jew can do anything for a cholish ein bo sakana, or a Jew can do a iser derabanan with a shinoi. But the truth is, there are some poskim, and we talked yesterday about how we can follow the lenient poskim when it comes to sakana, to health on Shabbos. There are some poskim, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is prominent amongst them, who allow even an Isser Deraisa. And Rav Avadi Yosef quotes this, in Yalka Yosef, he's quoted, says, Yesh Omer Shemutar La'asos L'Torah Cholesh Yiposkana, Gam Malachot Hasurot Min HaTorah, Im Osa Osa B'Der Shinui. As long as it's the Shinui, it also could be that it's an Isser Deraisa that can be done. So that lowers the level of the prohibition. And then he quotes in the footnote that Rav Avadia said that to him directly. The Afal, you're quoting here, he says that Rav Avadia said, the Afal Pisha Pasha Divrei Moran Morim, the Ayri B'Isser Shvus, even though the Shulchan Aruch said only the Rabbanan, Mikol Makom, Ameka Gam Malachos Deraisa La'asos B'Shinui, Yesh Lo Al Ma She Yismoch. So, and then he even gives some examples here of what might be considered a cholish ein bo sakana, could go on choli katzeret, like someone with asthma, which again, these are not things where you expect the person to die from, but it is serious, or a sovos mimachas lev, or any kind of heart problem, she'inu misukana, non-dangerous heart problems, obviously a dangerous heart problem is much, much more dangerous, or choli b'machla sanafila, someone with epilepsy. So all these are things that, and this is the Shulchan Aruch HaRav there, just put it on the sheet so that you see it, that are examples, that is where we get this whole idea that you can violate an Isser Derabanan. I'll show you, an Isser Deraisa for a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana. I'll show you, just, I have a few more examples here that I put in my book for what we might be able to consider a Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana, just to see some examples. So here's a whole bunch of examples that I was able to find in different books. With footnotes. So, for example, one whose whole body is affected by illness or pain, such as a moderate fever, influenza, or severe migraine headache. These are all rise to the level of Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana. One who requires preventative treatment not to become sick, for instance, with acute asthma. One who suffers from chronic debilitating arthritis pain, migraine headaches, or mild depression. A pregnant woman suffering from non-life-threatening complications to her fetus or lower back pain. An eye infection, however mild. A child, any child, up to age 9 or 10, is automatically, even with a mild illness, is automatically going to be in the category of Cholesh Ein Bo Sakana. And I'll show you a few more examples here on the sheet. And then we can start talking about it too. here. Here's just a few. I put a bunch, some Shmira Shabbos here, just that I think helps to summarize things nicely, but just for you, you have, oh, here, Dahlia, you mentioned this, and Rabbi Nitavar, you mentioned also. So just as one example, the Nishmas Avraham writes, we're going to go into this more in terms of mental health, but he writes in this area, he says, Chola psychiatry, mibechina chilo Shabbos, ein kol hevdel ben chola mimachla gufani, umichola im machla nafshit. The kol ha-kholim ha-movim la-ela gabi sivugo shal-chola gufanit, and anything that we talked about in terms of categorizing a chola with a physical illness, al-pi chumrat matzavo v'efsharut l'sakanat chayav, tak tekafim l'gabi chola nefesh. The same thing for a chola nefesh. So I'm going to show you some more examples. We're going to go into this much deeper, but
is this in our source sheets?
This was not in the source sheet that I sent out because I was just trying to keep it to the basics of Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah. But this is on the sheet, on the full sheet, which is what I'm going to send to Rabbi Devorah when we finish, so that you can have this for your own notes. So yeah, you'll have it, but it's not in the sheet that I sent you. Sorry. This sheet, like what I'm looking at right now, what I have in front of me, what I'm going to send you, is 41 pages. And I just felt like if I sent you a 41-page source sheet, it would just be tefasta merulo tefasta, right? So I cut a lot of stuff out, but not that it's not important. Here's a couple of other examples that I think just help us to give us a feel. So the Nishmas Avraham says again elsewhere, what about someone who's having a surgery, Motzei Shabbos? Cholish ein bo sakana, hatzarech la'avor nituach Motzei Shabbos, shemati me'mori ha'gon, rev noyver shlita she'im i'efshar lidchos es ha'nituach li'om acher. You can't push it off until another day, so it has to be on Saturday night. Yitachein she'ye mutar la'aroch b'shabbat ha'chanot, she'im behen ela ister de'rabban. You can do all the preparations, which would include, so it could include, you know, an enema, v'chein she'im mutar l'chol le'letzum b'Shabbos, the cross and nituach, you could fast even on Shabbos. So preparations on Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos would be allowed. He also writes, what about going home? This came up a little bit yesterday. Chol she'im b'sakana l'hamishtrachver b'Shabbos kanal v'einu yachol agil le'beso b'kochot atzmo, alo l'achzor abaitim v'chonit asher yehudina agba, shouldn't go back in a car driven by a Jew, aval mutar lo l'achzor b'chonit shenohe, but if a non-Jew is driving the car, then it would be permissible to drive to go home from the hospital for a cholish ein bo sakana. One more issue that's in this, because as you saw in the Shulchan Aruch that we read, that piece of the Shulchan Aruch was, and this is a repetition from that, was really going back and forth about is there danger to limb. And basically what we have said is that if there's danger to limb, we cannot be mechal al Shabbos midiraisa, right? We could be a little bit, it's not the same as a chola sheyesh bo sakana. It's one step lower. So here, just this Mishnah Berurah said it, I think, right? He said, the Mishnah Berurah said here, v'imiyesh bo sakanas eiver, ein tzarech shinui klal, you could do the derabanan without a shinui, but not a deraisa. So, That's the psak, at least in the Shulchan Aruch, that there's one step lower. Just to tell you an interesting parallel, which is that they're interesting in debate in the issue of organ donation. There's a famous Radvaz. The Radvaz was asked by somebody, if a Jew was captured and the authorities say, we are going to, they're just playing with the Jews, right? They say, we are going to kill this Jew. They capture another Jew, right? And they say to the second one, let us cut off your arm or we will kill the other Jew. And they asked, am I required to give my arm to save another person's life? And you can see how there could be parallel to organ donation. So the questioner in that tshuva, the questioner says, it seems to me that it should be required, because since we see from Hilchos Shabbos that a danger to a limb does not rise to the level of danger to life, therefore, one should be willing to give their limb to save a life. That's his logic. The Radvaz then rejects that logic and says no. But that's how I always remember that concept. But interestingly, I don't know about you, but if you yourself or your child or your friend or anyone, if they had an illness on Shabbos that would risk losing a limb, I mean, would you really not drive to the hospital? Would you really not try to do something about it? You only do it there. So interestingly, that really has changed. Rivavaja, for example, says here, he quotes this, Kol Shem Sakana Vyeshbo Sakana's Aver, Imarofa Omer Sha'al Yade Sakana's Aver, Zu Yakola Voli De Sakana Tikalit. If that could lead to more general danger, Shomin Lo, Lakala Lav Shabbos. Then, of course, you could break Shabbos, give him Lakha Deraisa, because the Sakana's Aver could lead to a worse issue with their entire body. He then says, "Ukayom da tarofim shekimat ein lecha sakanat aver bodeid shelo yehi karuch ba gam sakana lechol aguf." And today, it really, anytime someone could potentially lose their limb, it's a danger to their whole life, really. And so, it should be allowed. Rav Asher Weiss wrote here in a tshuva. Just read the second line here. He says, "It's not ein sakana shel ibu de aver." Even the Shulchan Aruch wasn't talking about losing the limb, or shituko hamuchlat, you're completely unable to use that aver. Ela kol sakana latif kud takin shel echad me'evari haguf. It's talking about even just not being able to use that limb as well. The kol sakana shel nezik bilti hafi, or irreversible damage, the tafkudo havi bechlal sakana aver. That is obviously sakana aver. And he says, and then here, the Tzitzel Yazar, the truth is, this is all summarized perfectly by Nishrus Avram. The Nishrus Avram quotes all this, and he says, "Im rofa omer shim lo yirpa ha'aver yachol levumti lekuch nefesh harei hu kishara cholish yish posakana." Then for a aver, for a limb, you should violate Shabbos. Mizmanenu kishimat in mechasakanat aver shalom krucha gam pesakanat kol aguf ayde harala kadama. So since there's almost, you can't imagine a situation where it wouldn't be actual danger to their in a certain way, like damage, poison their whole life, you could violate Shabbos. And he goes on, the sakana aver inu davka sakana shel ibud aver legamri ela filu hasakana shel aver yishar chalash kol yamav. So the truth is, even though sakana aver we see as being slightly less than life threatening, actually treat it today basically as the same as a life-threatening illness. So I'm just pointing it out that it's a different category, but it's kind of the same category as called a she yesh bo sakana. There's another issue that comes up, and that is danger to the eye. And danger to the eye, this Gemara is, we won't read the whole thing, but it's Amar Rav Zutra, Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, Ayin Shemarda Mutra Lekoch LaBashabbos. We talked about that you can't use medicine on Shabbos for someone who's not dangerously ill, or even non-dangerously but ill, but you could for an eye. Why is it allowed for an eye? So the Gemara talks about it and goes back and forth, and then concludes, right, there's this whole debate if it's about carrying it or not, and then the conclusion here is, Shemar de Mutal Kochla B'Shabbos, my taima, de shur aina de aina buvnasa de liba talu. There is some kind of connection between the eye and the heart. What does this mean? The eye is connected to the heart. So the truth is, this actually ends up being halacha lemaisa, because the Shulchan Aruch, same siman, Shin Chaf Chet, says, "Achoshesh be'enav, o be'eno v'yesh bo tzir," right? Someone's, their eyes are hurting, or one eye's hurting, and there's like pus, or shehayu shosasos v'meno dim'os machmas ha'kaev, or it's like tears are coming out because of the pain, or shehaya shosis dam, or blood's coming out, or shehaya bo yirat lechas. The truth is, I have no idea what that word is. I don't know if any of you do. Perish techila secholi, like starting of an illness. Mechalin alav es Shabbos. One can violate Shabbos for their eye. Interestingly, Rav Zilberstein wrote about this. He says, the truth is, I asked some doctors, and they don't know. They don't think there's anything. This is like, there's no such thing. Like, why should the eye be different? He says here, it's also dangerous to the heart. What could that be? And that we're therefore allowed to violate Shabbos? He then goes on and says, he quotes Prima Gadim, I think. Yeah, Prima Gadim says that, no, still the rabbi said it, right? He says, we never argue with Chazal, and therefore they said it's, something's bad about your eyes, is bad for your whole body, we follow that. But Rav Yosef is much more lenient on this. He basically says, you can be Mechal Shabbos because that's like a Sakana's Aver. And just like we said, Sakana's Aver today, we can be Mechal Shabbos. So too for an eye. And he says you can use eye drops or even lotions or whatever you need to put in. It's not considered any an issue. But the truth is, There is, I once heard about an issue, and I haven't seen Pluskin quoting it, but there is something called oculocardiac reflex. Oculocardiac reflex, and there's this whole article in Hamayan. I quoted just the first bit of it there. You can find it on deeperbooks.org, Hamayan, volume 15, number 4, where this Dr. Yaakov Levy wrote a whole article trying to show that there is a connection between the eye and the heart, and therefore we should be machmir about violating Shabbos to save anyone with an eye problem. But Ravaji just gives a simpler answer that basically says, you know, just like we came up with a heter for a limb, so too for the eyes. Anyways, I'm just sharing that because it comes up in the Shulchan Aruch. And this was basically what the Nishmas Avram says as well. I put this next here, the Shmir Shabbos. They are all lenient when it comes to the eyes. So just read this last source, and then I'll show you my chart in a second. And I want to show you, do one, two more last things with you. Ayin Shani. Eye is different. He says, Mutter b'mikra shel delekes, if someone has like inflammation, a few lo chazak, even minor, yishnamish b'tipot einayim, you can use eye drops, or a few lo b'mashcha v'lo shayach b'kagav de mishum ister memareach. When it comes to eyes, we are lenient. So anyways, I just thought that was interesting. Then, we've already mentioned this, the truth is, multiple times. This is just, I put some of the Gemaras here about the sugya of that you can't do things that were only for refuah, for healing, on Shabbos. And so, you know, Rashi says there, Gezer mishum shkikas hamamanim, midi de refuah gaz rabbanan, the isharis shum refuah, asi le mishrei shkikas hamamanim, vu isr de reisa dave tochen. They were afraid that someone would come to tochen if they were allowed to use medications on Shabbos. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch says, davar sheinu malacha ve'inu asr la'asos b'Shabbos ela mishum shvus, so there's a mixas choli, a little bit of an illness. They can ask someone, non-Jew, to do a derabanan. Or it's a mitzvah. They can ask a non-Jew just to do a derabanan. That's all that is allowed for a mixas choli. And then when it comes to someone who's what's called just a mechush, ba'alma, which is even softer, and this is what we saw in the very first sif, it started off by saying, "Mishi yeshu meichush ba'alma who miskazi holy kavar." They're totally healthy. Asher la'asos le'shum refuah, afilo ayidei nu yehudi gzeir mishum shkikas hamamanim. And the Mishnah Berurah there says, right, afilo devarim shu rak mishum shvus. Even a derabanan can't be done for someone who has just a meichush ba'alma, the most minor illness. And so now let me show you. Let's look now at this chart that I made. Let's see, hopefully this makes sense, because we just read a lot of sources and we've talked about a lot of things, but I'm trying to fit it on one page. There we go. Lost it. Here it is. So this chart, hopefully, okay, I guess I can't fit it on one, but this chart hopefully makes it more clear that here are the various levels in the same order. So on the one hand, you have the highest level, cholish yesh bo sakana, right? Possibly seriously or dangerously ill, or may become so. There's almost no restrictions, right? That's what I just wrote. Must act quickly. A Jew may respond just as he or she would during a weekday, despite by the prohibitions. All medical instructions follow it. Limb-threatening, sakana's aver. A drop below that, but we can ask someone who's not Jewish, even if it violates the Torah prohibition. A Jewish person may do anything necessary to care for the patient, even if it violates the Torah prohibition, as long as it's done in a manner differing from a weekday with shinui. A rabbinic prohibition can be done in a normal manner. And if there's a concern that this may lead to more serious danger, or to prevent blindness, especially if it's for the eye, or if a broken limb may be life-threatening, then all prohibitions may be transgressed. Then we come to Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. Can ask someone who's not Jewish to perform any action needed, even if it violates the Torah prohibition. A Jewish person may do anything necessary to care for this patient if it involves a rabbinic prohibition, ideally done, or even a Torah prohibition if it's against a great need, ideally done in a manner differing from that which would be done on a weekday, may take medicine in a normal manner, and then you just have the most minor mixat choli or mitzara harbe. You can only ask a person who's not Jewish to do a derabanan or mechush ba'oma. For that, we do nothing. So that is the summary. But there is one more case to really fit into this. nasciolentis, the case of childbirth. Yes,
nothing at all for mechush b'miktat.
The most minimal mechush, it's really treated, you know, that's really, no. But that's considered to be extremely minor and not that expected to get worse. It's just sort of like...
I remember you did that and I did like something about cholesterol pasanana, but like there are, like you can take medicine and our medicine daily, like medicine, there are like kulot why it's okay because it's like today's medicine and it's different.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Different kinds of stuff that make things easier, like putting creams or making life, onik Shabbat comes, I don't know, like, feel like maybe we could say, like, what would you say you can do to someone who's, let's say someone's just sick, okay? I don't know, has a bad cold on Shabbat, feeling terrible. Like, what would you do to that kid?
Yeah, a bad cold is already cholesh ein bo sakana. That might even be...
That's already cholesh ein bo sakana?
It could be, yeah. See, that's what I was trying to show you with those...
Depends, but there's, like, different
ways. See, mechush is more like, I don't know.
Ogufo. Ogufo.
Yeah.
Your whole body's affected.
Mechush, I'll just think of myself. You know what? I have this issue. I don't know what it is. You don't know, maybe my doctors, but I have this issue, which is that when I wake up in the morning, I feel a little bit like not great. But by the time I like brush my teeth, I feel totally normal. It's just whenever I wake up for like the first 5 minutes. But it's really nothing. Like it goes away in a minute and it's not really bad. It's just like, I don't know. It's weird. Like this is the last year or so I've been feeling that. So it's like, I don't really think that I could violate Shabbos in any way for that when I know that it's really nothing. It goes away in 2 minutes and it doesn't even bother me. Like, it's just like, just a weird little thing. So it's really nothing. But yeah, a cold, like a fever, like then you're already getting into much higher categories. I think that's important to recognize. Mechush is really, 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 really minor. That's all you.
I guess this might fall into also like someone who needs to go lay down, but somebody who's absolutely not in danger but just has a lot of pain, like a backache, where there's no fear but they can't tolerate the pain.
Excellent question. So I want to show you some stuff about uletis real quick, and then that is where we're going. That's what I want to spend our final half hour talking about, because that's the really important topic that I told you that I wanted to make sure we discuss enough. And so we're going to get there. So just real quick. Your questions are all so great. They're all things that we're planning. Like you're right.
You make the font bigger again.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks.
So when it comes to your lettuce, just real quick, now it's just putting it into now the categories that we have, right? So this is now same zip code of Shulchan Aruch, but it's two simanim later. Shin Lamed. I have the Gemara there, but the Shulchan Aruch is the same exact thing. So the Shulchan Aruch just says in Sif Aleph first, Yo ledes hi kecholish yesh bo sakana mechalin alea. Hashabbos the chol mashatricha. You do whatever you need for your lettuce. Korin la chachmami makom namakom. Umi aldino sami umelekin la nera filu hisuma. You know, she's blind, could light a candle. Umi komakom bechol mashichon lishnos mishani. But if you could do a shinui, you should do a shinui. This is the one difference with your lettuce, with the other patient who's dangerously ill. So a woman giving birth, we consider to be dangerously ill. But if you can do a shinui, we do a shinui. That's the one. Now, this is not talking obviously about a doctor. Let's say someone who's doing a surgery or some kind of thing where it's like really important to do it right. Obviously, we don't even suggest that they utilize a shinui. But it's just when it can be done. And the Mishnah Berurah basically just explains that's just because in general, you know, childbirth, thank God, is not as dangerous as some of these categories that we talked about when it comes to life-threatening illnesses. But we still treat it as life-threatening, you know, potentially life-threatening, but we just try to be a little bit more careful, a drop more careful, if possible. But we don't have to, if not possible at all. Right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. And the truth is, let me show you this. Yeah, the Sitzel Yezer is actually a fascinating Sitzel Yezer. I don't know if we should read it now just because it'll take away from other stuff. But he talks about how... So if the rabbi said it's like it's pekuach nefesh, even if you would think it's very safe, basically like we still have the right to treat it as pekuach nefesh because you never know, it could be. And so once the Chazal said that it's pekuach nefesh, we treat a woman giving birth as pekuach nefesh. Yes, Aliza.
So two questions. In general, what would you say, or what do poskim say about like sometimes people have, like, you know, early labor at home, or they're, like, in labor for, like, lots of days, and, like, would you say things along the lines of, like, if it's Shabbat and she's in the hospital and the epidural's in and there's nothing else to do, she can watch TV, or, like, you know, that kind of stuff?
You mean you're saying because things are basically, like, going smoothly, and, like, should we still treat it as totally a chol hashiyesh b'sakana?
Yeah, and also, like, turning on the TV in the room is not refuah, but she's going to be sitting there for 30 hours, like, that could be quite boring. And
right. And that is, I don't want to push it off, but it's just that we are going to talk about that tomorrow. There's a specific category that I want to talk about that can be very relevant for that tomorrow, so I'm going to save it. But I do think that this is part of what, you know, the Mishnah Berurah's point here is that since there is, like, the Shulchan Aruch says, at least use the Shinui if possible, like, we are trying to be, like, somewhat, like, reasonable here. Like, we're like, you know, we're Mechal Shabbos whatever we need, but, like, if it's not needed. But a lot of this stuff could be needed, and I agree with you that sitting in a hospital for 30 hours could, we're going to talk about that tomorrow, so I'm going to save it. But, and the truth is, a lot of this, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, when it's talking about this, is talking about home births, right? That was what happened then. And today, we talk about mostly about going to the hospitals. And it's interesting because, you know, working in a hospital, sometimes we see on, like, Facebook, whatever, the stories of people that gave birth in a taxi cab, and it was so beautiful because Hatzalah delivered it, and it was so great. But unfortunately, in the hospital, we sometimes see the stories that were, it didn't go so good. So it is important to, you know, recognize that there is danger involved, and people should, just as Zoris as they are, as we suggested that they be, when it came to any life-threatening illness, so too when it comes to childbirth. So, there's an interesting Mishnah Savram here. Truth is, I think it might be worth reading some of this here. He writes here, he just points out that people can ride with someone going to the hospital, with a woman going to give birth. Actually, that's truth is, that's similar to what we saw before, that, you know, anyone who's going to be supportive can go there to be with them. Let me just show you these last, here, the last two, the last three se'ifim, two se'ifim in this siman, just clarify here. Nikreis Yoledes, she's called Yoledes, Lechalayas HaShabbos, Mishat Toshev Al HaMashber, once she's in active labor, or Misha Shadam Shotes, Biorit, or Misha Shechavuteha, Noso Sota, Bizroteha, that they have to carry her to help her, She'ein Bakoch Leholoch, that she no longer has the strength to walk on her own, Kivan Shanira Me'elu, Lechalin Leas HaShabbos. So it's before the baby has been born, she's already considered a Chola Sheyesh Ba'asakana. And then, Kol Shlosha Yamim Harishonim, the whole first 3 days, even though she might have gone home already from the hospital. These days it's like 2 days in the hospital, but the first 3 days, Afilu Amra Eina Tricha Mechalin Leas HaShabbos. Even she says, I don't need it anymore. We violate Shabbos for her. Mishlosha Ve'ad Zayin, from 3 to 7, it's still Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana, but Eina Tricha, then she says she doesn't need, then we don't in Mechalin. Mikan Ve'elech Afilu Amra Trichani, from then on, even she says, I need. So it's the first 3 days are the strictest. First, then day 4 to 7 are still in that very high category of doing almost anything. And then 30 days in the second category of cholish ein bo sakana. And this is very common in Rabbi Devorah. I mean, in the hospital all the time, when women ask questions about what they can do on Shabbos, I'm always reminded, like, according to halacha, you are right now considered a cholish yesh bo sakana. You can do almost anything. That's for your own comfort, for your own health. It's the strictest category in terms of what we would do anything for that person's health. So it's important to be aware of. Yes.
Yeah, except Yoshva Amashbar is late. Uh-huh. In other words, women are going to the hospital before that, right? If a woman is going in when her contractions are 5 minutes apart, provided that she ever has contractions,
right.
That is definitely significantly, or hopefully significantly, before Yoshva Amashbar.
Mm-hmm.
So this is late, right? This is late.
Yeah, I do think that applying some of the principles that we saw already today about concerns about things, you know.
Right. So I think you have to do that, right? In other words, you have to sort of read that into the Yoledet and
exactly.
Talk about the things that could go wrong, God forbid, and things like that. And therefore, you're not waiting until transition or, you know, when she's practically pushing, which is right. which is what that is.
Right. And, yeah, and that's why it's important to remember that a lot of this wasn't imagining the situation of having to drive to the hospital. It was imagining right. home birth.
Right.
And obviously, right, we have to be extra cautious with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was curious along the same lines about the Sha'a Shechavroteha Nos Otota Bizroteha. Could we count women on bed rest in that category? So, like, is a woman who's on bed rest, like, you know, for months considered a Cholesh Yesh Basakana from the moment that she's bedridden? Like, how does that fit in?
I think it's very, very possible. I think it would all depend on the specifics of the situation. But yeah, I think you probably could. We see that, you know, there is this desire for leniency here that it's important, you know, to protect her health. So it seems like it would. Interestingly, the Ish Avraham points out that also this is not just actually giving birth to a live baby. Dad hamapelas lachar arba yom, even a miscarriage after 40 days from conception. So that is also considered yoledes, and actually I saw a posik that quotes this in terms of abortion as well, that that is the same category. So it's not just regarding having a healthy living child. So here's my chart for this. Let's see if I can fit it onto the same page again. So basically, if it makes sense, from birth until, and the truth is I shouldn't have been birth, I should have been from labor. I'll change it later. From labor until day three, from active labor until day three for 72 hours, the category is cholish yesh bo sakana. What the initial sefer from there says that you can violate Shabbos to do anything for the sake of the mother's health or to make her feel better. That someone with even minimal knowledge of medical matters sees as being necessary. This is the case even if there is no doctor or midwife available, and even if the mother herself doesn't think that she needs what is being done for her, ideal to use a shinui if possible. Then day 4 to 7, it's still cholish yesh bo sakana. So it's the same as above, but in this latter period, one should not violate Shabbos for anything which the mother herself asserts that she does not need, even if non-professional lay people think that the act in question is required for the patient, as long as the doctor or midwife does not say that the violation is necessary for her. And then from day 8 to 30, so for 30 days, she is still a chola, but she ain't basakana, so someone who is Jewish may transgress only rabbinic Shabbat prohibitions for the sake of her, unless obviously more is needed, or one may ask someone who's not Jewish to do anything necessary for her, and then we pointed out that a woman who has a cesarean delivery is considered dangerous to ill for as long as the doctors tell her. She should be treated with extra caution, not limited to the above standardized time periods. After she moves into the category of the patient who is not dangerous to ill, apply the same as well to a miscarriage. If the potentially dangerous complications arise in the mother's condition anytime after birth, she should once again be treated as a patient whose life is in danger. Just real quick before our last, I'm just going to point this out. I'm not going to go into them because I don't think that they're super important, but just to mention them, there are a number of other categories that if you went through Shin Chav Ches 328 in the Shulchan Aruch, you saw mentioned, like Makah Shel Chalal, which was an internal illness, or there was the category of fever, of chom, you know, fever was a big concern, is mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch as something that we treat differently, and Makah Agaf Hayad, damage to hand or feet, and also makashel barzel, or a damage with iron. All these things are mentioned as being special categories. And the truth is, the poskim point out that these are all just examples of areas that they were concerned about. And the truth is, that I think the best summary of it, I'll just show you, there's a few good summaries here, so you have it from the encyclopedia, but Rav Malamed, as he's always good at, just summarizes this so well that I think we could just read this one summary of those extra categories. And he basically just says, Kol machla sharofim ragilin lisyaches aleha kemisukenet, anything that doctors think this is something that's dangerous. Vanashim ragilin lihizdareis kedei latzil etacholeba, and these are things that people are concerned about. Gam imrak miut katan meitimen, even if very few would die from it, harehi nechshevet kemisukenet, that is danger. Obviously, you take a woman to the hospital. Okay, she could just have birth at home, but no, we take her to the hospital because there's any danger. But things that we don't consider to be danger, then we wouldn't. And now here's where he points out those issues that he mentioned. They mentioned We saw in the Shulchan Aruch, Maka Shulchalo. Hainu Ke'ev Gadol or Petza or Shetev Dan B'Tochalol, something internal. Maka Agav Hayad or Gav Arego, or some kind of, for some reason, the Shulchan Aruch says if you have a damage to your hand or leg. Hainu Chatach Mesukan Ozihum. Chom Gavomiot, high fever. Neshichat Akrav, right? A scorpion bite, or Nachash, or snake. V'choli Be'inayim, or eyes, as we mentioned. But what's the point of all these? This is all based on reality. That it's all based on what the doctors of your time say. It's different today. Here's the point. If people see what a person is going through, that there's some kind of risk, you do what you need to do. So the point is, he just summarized. I just like the way he summarizes that all those other issues of concern, it's just, those are just examples. And what we do today is basically anything that you know, any kind of medical professional or expert would say that that's dangerous, we consider it dangerous, and we violate Shabbos for it. Okay, now one last topic. We have 20 minutes, and I'm sorry, do you have another question, or? So here's the issue. I hope 20 minutes we can give it justice, but it's an important issue and it's not dealt with, I think, enough, and it's a big problem. And I'll even tell you as a story, the way it happened to me. I was in a shul and congregant there who's a pain specialist came over and told me that his rabbi, who was right there, told him that he can't work on Shabbos to treat his chronic pain patients. And he asked me what I thought about it, which put me in a really uncomfortable situation because, you know, I was like in that person's shul. I said, well, let's go talk to your rabbi. I just felt really weird about it. So the rabbi said, you know what? He asked, yeah, it's true. He asked me, and I just said, no, you can't be Machal Shabbos for pain because there's no cure. It's just pain. But what is he really doing? So I said, he was like, but, you know, Jason, if you could come up with like a better approach, please, by all means, you know, do it. So this guy was really upset, and it also bothered me because I'm sure many of you experienced this too. I've cared for patients who are experiencing chronic pain, and it's absolutely horrible. They cannot function, and they sometimes are just can't get out of bed, writhing in pain. Nothing treats the pain, especially now with the epidemic with opiates, and it's much harder to get in the hospital. People, you know, doctors are very suspicious of patients, and people really, really suffer. So yeah, they it's not a cure. We're not looking, it's not necessarily have cures for them, but we can treat them so they're not in pain. What category do we put chronic pain into? And this is what I want to just spend our last few minutes on. And don't worry, a lot of the things you've mentioned before, we are going to talk about tomorrow, but this is just important. So how do we categorize it? So I first started doing research, and I did lazy research. What does that mean? I Googled it. So here's what I found on Google. Rav David Heber Starkey, he says, chole she'ein bo sakana, someone whose life is not in danger. This includes anyone who's bedridden, is noticeably not functioning up to par due to illness, or has a fever which is not potentially life-threatening, a child under 6 years of age who has discomfort is also considered a chole she'ein bo sakana. This category includes the following. One who's experiencing symptoms of the flu, one who suffers from chronic debilitating arthritis pain, one who suffers from migraine headaches or mild depression. I thought, okay, so I guess he's saying that it's only a chole she'ein bo sakana, and yes, then the doctor could not violate an ister d'oraisa for that person. I looked it up in Halachas of Refuah by Pinchas Bodner, English book, and he says on page 56, to cure the illness as well as to relieve pain from the illness is the category of chole she'ein bo sakana, and he writes there that arthritis is just an ailment. Let's see, I misspelled that. A mechush, because one can still function. And I looked in Dr. Steinberg's book. He says, Misha Sova Mikaevim Chazakim, Sheikav Kach, who Nelats Lishkavimita, they're bedridden, or Shekol Gufo Nechlash, Mutar Lakacha Chufot, Lahargat Takaev, Imakaev Chazak, or Panimi, or Be'ever, Shanashom Tluyubo, Dino Kacholish Imbo Sekam. So, yeah, they could take medications, but their doctor can't treat them, or they can't drive to the hospital. There's limits, because it's a Cholesha Ein Bo Sekana. Do we always say that? And I did some more research, and I came across a really, really profound, what I thought was a profound tshuva of the Tzitzel Eliezer. The Tzitzel Eliezer is talking about hospice here. And in talking about hospice, he's talking about pain medication. And he says, just a few really profound lines here. He says, "De'ein lecha davar shekashel adam v'sev lo rav yoter miyusturim abayim alav lo leinu lechein kishenosnim lo davar kedei lahashkita et yisura zeir ba'atzmo nikra netinat refua the refuos lahashkit es yisura. The permission of harapo yirapeh is included in pain medications. Then he quotes the Gemara in Kasubas about Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah. The story in Sefer Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar, was persecuting the Jews there, and he built a statue of himself, 60 amos high, massive gold statue, and he told the Jews they have to bow down. Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah did not bow down to the statue. And the Chaldeans saw that, and they told on him. And Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, death. So they built a huge fire pit, such a big fire that it says actually the people that were stoking the flames also died from the heat, and they threw them in the fire. But then the Gemara says that if it would have been lashes, here, he says that, this last paragraph, Hema harbe kashim alav mistam machla haba alav vafilu shemesukenet yosem mina yisurim. Even if another illness is worse, pain is more dangerous. Pain is one of the worst things a person can experience. In kima datia davar baruch mosh kazati lel shesias takshirim al yedei harofe kedei lashkit das yisurim gam zeh b'cha ripui yechashev. I'm sorry, I missed the piece we quoted. He quotes, that Gemara he was quoting was that even if they would have gotten lashes instead of being thrown in the fire, if the punishment would have been lashes, the Gemara says they would not have been expected to endure the lashes. Even though normally we say you have to rather die than worship Avodah Zarah, the Gemara there says, and I actually put the Gemara there, the Gemara says that they should rather, it would be understandable if they would rather bow down than receive lashes because pain is so horrible. So he really gets how bad pain is. And the Mishnah Mikubetza says here, Chamira le malchus mi misa mishum orecha yisurin ulhachi maisi raya mechanan mishal zara. That in some ways, lashes are even worse than death. So you start to see some respect for the, how bad pain is. And the Shevet Halevi actually has a tshuva, where he was asked by someone whose wife had a horrible cancer, and he did something to help her on Shabbos. It wasn't to cure her. It was just to relieve her pain. And then after Shabbos, he felt bad. He wasn't sure if he did the right thing. He violated Shabbos to help her deal with her pain, but it wasn't to cure her. And he reached out to the Shevet Halevi and asked him if he did the right thing. And the Shevet Halevi said, here, I'll just read you one line there. His response says, Pashu me'od she'ein kan chilu Shabbos, kivin shikanir mikosei mikavo. I see from what you're doing, it's a makash shalchalo. That should be the category of an internal illness. Maybe it's not a cholesh yesh basakana, but makash shalchalo hi, I know cholesh shel sakan, that is a sakana if it's an internal illness, as we saw, and that you could do osin lo b'Shabbos kol shu regilin lasos b'chol. You could do whatever you do on the weekday. If you would have done that on the weekday, you could do it on Shabbos. Gam devarim she'enim le'etzem refuah samachla ela kol haragil lasos b'chol osim gam b'Shabbos. That is his, so he seems to have some heter. And then the truth is, I found in a footnote in the Shmir Shabbos that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that horrible pain, harei gam ke'evim alulim l'sakein chaye adam. Technically, you could violate Shabbos. You could mutter l'chala b'zeh, you could violate Shabbos for pain because it could lead to death. So those were some sources that I saw that I thought maybe could justify a little bit more, but it doesn't say it straight out. So what happened was I gave this shiur, I put it on YouTube, I gave this as a shiur. I told this person that I think you could probably justify a little bit more. I'm not totally sure, but it seems like there might be some more room to be a little bit more lenient about pain management on Shabbos. And then Rav Asher Weiss came to town and he was here. And so I always volunteer to drive him around and he's here. And while I was driving around, I told him this question. And I said, I quoted him this Shevet Halevi and this Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says, no, I totally disagree. And he had a really interesting approach. In fact, he wrote a tshuva about it. He sent it to me. He asked me not to share it yet, but I am putting it on the source sheet here. I cut it up and I'll just send you just some pieces, but just please know that he asked me not to share it yet. He actually said, it was very interesting. He said to me, first of all, I don't like the Shevet Halevi's makash shalchalal. I don't think that's the right category because everything's a makash shalchalal. Everything's internal. It becomes meaningless. Like these categories start to lose their relevancy. He also said, you know, the reason why I write tshuvas, he told me, he said, is no one's saying anything new anymore. Everyone just quotes previous generations. He says, since Rav Moshe Feinstein, no one says anything new. And I think that it's time to start saying new ideas. So he says, I have an idea about this. A total paradigm shift. And this is going to lead us into our discussion tomorrow, too. But he says it's another category. Because I said to him, is chronic pain chola she'ein bo sakana or chola she'yesh bo sakana? And can someone drive? Can they violate Isra D'oraisa for it? He said, it's neither. You're looking at the wrong categories, but you can drive on Shabbos for it. I was like, what? He was like, let me show you. And I said to him, I asked another rabbi who in town, he said, no, you can't. He said, that rabbi doesn't appreciate chronic pain. I'm sorry. He doesn't appreciate how bad it is. So he said, he told me his approach. And I said, wow, can you send that to me? He said, okay, I'm sending it to you, but don't share it with anyone. Okay. As I share it with you. So here's what he wrote. Maybe it'll be published. I think it will be published eventually. Since he wrote this, he hasn't published anymore. Sorry, but, so he quotes here, starts with the Rebbeinu Tam. The truth is, by the way, Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig's new book on B'magli Nefi, no, what's it called? Nafshibes Shelati. He has a whole appendix explaining his approach, and it's very, very similar based on the same thing. And he's talking about mental health and halacha, and the way he justifies much of what he does is a very similar approach. I actually asked him if it was based on this, and he said, no, they came to it. You know, they came to it. It's different. It is different, but it's along similar lines. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow in particular. But here's the Rebbeinu Tam. Here's Rav Asher Weiss quotes Rebbeinu Tam, and it's relevant to what we've been reading. So I think it's worthwhile to read it inside, and I'll just go a little bit fast because we're low on time, but it's worth seeing. So here it is. So the Rebbeinu Tam says as follows. He says, so he quotes Rebbeinu Tam about, this is all talking about the issue of Sakanas Aver. The truth is, the whole truth that he wrote here was for a mother who asked about her child. Her child had some kind of horrible testicular problem, and she wanted to drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, and the rabbi there said, no, you can't drive just for pain. And Rav Asher Weiss felt that was wrong. He felt that she should have. And so he makes the case for it. So he says, first of all, when it comes to the whole issue of Sakanas Aver, there's Rebbeinu Tam, and Rebbeinu Tam says as follows. He says, V'chi cholim nevim heim, this is now I'm quoting starting from right there. V'chi cholim nevim heim or bekim heim, ach kivan sheyidua chole, or a chaya shehu Shabbos, or Yom Kippur. It's once someone knows that it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning they have Yira Shemayim, they care, they don't want to just, they care that it's Shabbos or Yom Kippur, they don't want to just willy-nilly violate Shabbos or eat on Yom Kippur, right? They really care. But they know, and nevertheless, they say, "Tzarich ve'enu yachol lispo mach masacholi." I need it. I need this thing. Once they say that, "Tzarichani," this category of "Tzarichani," machilin also ve'afilu savuri macholim she'enu masukani. Even if the chole says, "I don't really, I'm not in danger, but I need this," we treat them as though they're in danger. Lev yodei maras nafsha, right? People know. People know how much. Much what they need. So he says, "Shehecha mitzinu sakana the neshichas kelev shote." Like, what about when someone's bitten by a dog, lamus or kehi derev ashi marzutra? The story in the Gemara in Ksubas when you know they stole the king's food. But afal pisha, why would they steal the king's food or that put their lives in danger? But afal pisha rov chole machayim hekil bepikucham misafek vechem etir fadas. So still, the rabbis are lenient. We're lenient in these cases. Velishna demaisi. This is also Rebbeinu Tam. Yitach shekain lashon atalma deimkain the daikas velishna my suffik nefashos ella hay maisa shem misyari lechalos lekalkel. That if someone is afraid of the damage that's going to happen to them, v'davar pashuhu sheim shol lechol or lishtos shem mutar lachila. But if they ask to eat, it's for sure allowed to let them eat or lashkoso, let them drink. Because by not eating, they could get much sicker, and sometimes they won't heal. And even if this is talking about the loss of one of their limbs, this is Rebbeinu Tam's shita. He was much more lenient. Rebbeinu Tam felt that sakana to a limb was just as bad as sakana to life, and therefore he allowed violating Shabbos for it. So that's Rabbi Nachman Shita. I'm not going to read the whole thing just because we're almost out of time, but he summarizes it right here. Rav Asher writes, he says, Hare she Rabbeinu Tam nakat afilu besakanas aver echad mechalines a Shabbos for Ravya Tamei Alav, and the Ravya disagrees. The Shani Ayn Shemarda Shachin Yeshba Sekanas Afashos. That was different with the eye of Al Kol Sheim Boskanas Afashos Ein Mechalin Shabbos Bishul Aver. Okay, some disagreed, but others agree, right? He then he quotes the Bach who agreed, and he says, I'm rushing because I want to get to this next part. This is the main thing. But just so he says, Ach Nir Lanuzis Daiti, Perusei Rachuk, he's disagreeing with the Bach who argued on him. But basically, the Rabbeinu Tam's point here is Mishum Kain, Nir Yosef, Bekavanus Rabbeinu Tam, Shemadubar, Beskanus Aver, Sheimbos, Kanus Afashos, Muchas, Porchkosavat, Tosos, and Miri. Tosos and Miri both argue that Rabbeinu Tam's position is that one can violate Shabbos to save lives, even if it's not saving a life, but it's saving a limb. That's the background. Now when we come to the issue of pain and why is this so relevant and radical? Let me show you why I think this is so important. So he says, I'm just going to give you some of the key lines here. I think this one's an important paragraph. He says, Harelan Sheshitas Rabbeinu Tam Shotetes Al Havana Yesodit. It's based on a foundational principle. Mechudeshes, and it's novel. Bechol Hilchos Pekuch Nefesh. We actually don't have to check if the person is likely to die or not. What do we have to check, rather? If there's any even possible danger, we violate Shabbos. So once a person says, I need, Mutar lalecho. Even though no one thinks they're going to die, but if they feel that they need it, and even though they recognize, you know, Shabbos is important, you know, Kippur is important, but I still need it, that's enough. It's subjective. It's up to that person's, their own needs. So in this case, legabe tasviv shel asheich. So in this particular pain for this child, it says tofa zu goremes ka'edim azim she'efshar lamod b'hem. It causes horrible pain. The hayelad mis. This child is in intractable pain. This should go in the category of tzarichani. This is amazing. To me, this is amazing. This is a whole new category. Once a person says, I can't handle this, they're in a new category. The category is, I need tzarichani. And in the category of tzarichani, machilin oso b'yom kippurim, u'machalin alav eser Shabbos. We feed them Yom Kippur, and we violate Shabbos, even their Isaac. Okay, there's disagreement. It's tzarich ani. Is there rak? K'she'achol ha'omer she'im lo yachiliv yamus. Some say it's only if they think they'll die, or b'chol inyin she'omer tzarich ani dino k'chol she'yesh bo sekana. But Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, sorry, turn the page, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, k'vod la'el, b'chol shoshos ha'makoros anel, and he quotes the different sources where they are from. But I think that when it comes to the issue of tzarich ani, we do follow that halacha. And let me just show you two more paragraphs. So, because I think this is so relevant and profound. So he starts to conclude here. So this is now quoting again from the Shulchan Aruch that we've seen, but it's the truth is we read this already enough times. The Shulchan Aruch there in Hilchos Yom Kippur says, right, if the person says I need to eat, they can eat on Yom Kippur. Hare shelegabe harofe cuts off. So regarding the doctor, it said harofe omer im lo yochilu oso eshar shiachabed alav hakol ebiyistakin. The doctor thinks that the person might be in danger if they don't eat. Machilin oso al piv. Then we feed them. Ach, the seifa in the end of the Shulchan Aruch in that line there, it said legabi achola lo kasav ela de ima achola omer tzarichani. All the patient has to say is I need it. Then machilin oso. We don't need any kind of proof that they're going to die. Hareish legabi achola lo tzarich shomer sheim lo yocho after shiamos. In other words, just feed them because they say they need it. Just because someone says they need it, that is enough. That's enough according to Shulchan Aruch. Umishum Kain, near the kasher medubar b'ka'ev tofet, right? Someone's in horrible pain, like an inferno. Ubechola mashul ezra, and sorry, my modern, when it comes to modern Hebrew words, I don't always pronounce them right, I know that. Zedin tzarechani, this comes to the din of tzarechani. Once the person's in a lot of pain and they need help, then they can just simply say, I need it, and we can violate Shabbos or Yom Kippur for their needs. Mutar la'avor b'de'oraisa k'dei la'azor u'loshia. Not to cure them, right, to help them. Ube'emes yedua b'darachei refua shika'edim kitonim, extreme pain, we know in medicine, extreme pain, gormim la'afrot mashmauti b'dofek b'lachas dam. Of course, it also causes problems in blood pressure. Ach ein harbe mechkarim k'dei ligvoa k'itzad k'ev kitonim we don't know how it impacts heart exactly. Normally, we just treat symptoms. The main point is the person says, tzarechani. And now I know we're at the end. I'm just going to read this last paragraph and conclude. Don't say, oh, just give them some Tylenol. But don't do something. Don't be machal Shabbos. Don't drive them to the hospital. Don't go to the. Don't give them an injection. You do what you would do during the week. Below ayudei minun mafil. You don't have to do it. Just do the highest dose shel mamshecha. Mishachachei kaevim shegan behem yesh nezek gadol laguf. But rather do whatever is needed. And then he actually concludes with this interesting Ran. V'dimion rachok lazeh mashkasav Ran in yoma b'shem ha-raivid d'chol shetarech l'chol basar shochtin. Remember, we saw this yesterday. Someone who says they need to eat meat for whatever reason, for their health, shochtin lo. We shecht it. V'ein machino so nevela. We don't just give them nevela. Kivan sha iser sh'omet negdo eno ela chilul Shabbos. That's just chilul Shabbos. Kivan sha b'yomos ha-chol hayu shochtin. We do it. So what you do during the week is what you would do on Shabbos. And so in other words, he has a total paradigm shift here. The issue is the needs of the patient and trusting their own suffering. Their category of tzarechani is totally subjective. And it's just another way of saying, even though we've seen all these different categories and we try to ask with each patient, is this a mechush? Is this a mixas holy? Is this a cholish embo sakana? Is this a sakana's aver? Is this a cholish yesh bo sakana? There actually is another category of tzarich ani, which also Rav Yoni utilizes, and Rav Asher Weiss, we see here now, uses, where a person's own lev yudeya maris nafshu, when a person says, this is what I need, we listen to that person's needs. And I think it's actually really a modern way of like looking at like respecting people's pain and suffering and saying, like, we will do for you what you need, because that's what the halacha demands of us. And that's the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, which he argues is accepted in terms of the conclusion. And it's just a whole other way of categorizing this. And actually, I called that rabbi and I said, look, after this, I think I want to tell your congregant that he could drive, because it was an issue where he had to drive on Shabbos in order to, it was the only way he could get to it. He was a specialist and he had to get to his clinic, and people could only get to his clinic. It was a complicated. I said, I think I'm going to tell him that he can, but I'm just going to let you know. So I sent him this tshuva of Rosh Weiss, and he said, okay, you know what? I agree. And so this doctor started, he had no other choice. It's a long story, but he had no other choice but to drive on Shabbos to treat patients with acute chronic pain. And Rav Asher Weiss agreed that was the right, that's the right thing to do. And I don't think it would fit neatly into the categories that we outlined. We should still use those categories. Those are the categories, right? That's what we use, those five categories. But there is more, there's broader ways of looking at things as well, which is what tomorrow we'll really dig into. It's not just exceptions, but it's like different ways of conceptualizing. Because sometimes putting everyone into the category of Ein bo sakana, yesh bo sakana, sakana's aver, it's not sometimes flexible or broad enough to kind of capture every individual situation. And so hopefully what we'll discuss tomorrow will really help us. And tomorrow's less sources also, so we don't have to rush as much. We'll be a little able to just focus on and discuss a little more. So hopefully we can have our last session a lot more conversation and discussion and back and forth. But of course, if there's any, I know we went over, but if there's any discussion now, I'm more than happy to hear reactions or comments. Yes, sorry.
First of all, thank you so much. These are things that I assume we'll cover tomorrow, but they've been on my mind in today's cheer, so I thought I would ask now. A couple of like bigger categories come to mind. So one is like, where does addiction, like both drug addiction, but also alcohol, like fit into these categories? Like, how does someone who's an alcoholic, for example, like what can and can that person do, or can that someone do for them? Another category is dementia, and like the ani tzarich category being like, what about someone who can't articulate or doesn't know what they need? And then two other categories. One is like, how does like modern medical categories fit in, like the loneliness epidemic, and how like thinking about loneliness as an illness rather than as like, I don't know, some other state of being, like how does that change how we deal with loneliness? And then the last is poverty, and like because of the associations of poverty with like decreased health. And like, especially with like the connection of the bulmos and like the person who's really hungry, and that we violate Shabbos to feed them, sort of like, in what way is like taking care of the poor, even if it's on Shabbos, like an issue that comes into the like cholesha in both sakana or some other category. So those are the things that are on my mind.
Yeah, those are great questions. A lot of that we will deal with tomorrow. Regarding the dementia, I mean, the halacha is, and there's a lot of sources for this, which I'm happy to send, that, you know, in general, we try to treat someone in accordance with what they would want if they were able to speak for themselves. So we try to treat people in accordance with what, if they could speak for themselves, what they would ask for. And if they're, if we have no way of determining what that is, then we do what we think is in their best interest. But that could even include being Mechala Shabbos sometimes to help them if that was what is needed by them, just even though they're not asking for it, but it's like that would help them in their situation. Also, regarding the mental health question you asked, there's a great piece. Dr. Steinberg in his encyclopedia Talmudic Rifui has a great piece where is the reason why we are Mechala Shabbos for mental health, is it because they might hurt themselves, or is it just because we want them to be able to function? It's just the ability to function. We want to help someone function better. And even though some poskim say no, it's just because we're concerned they're going to hurt themselves, so it's kind of nefashos, the majority, as the way he summarizes it, the majority opinion of poskim actually is that no, we can be mechala Shabbos or whatever is needed, even just to help someone to be able to function to their best capacity. Not even though there's no concern of hurting themselves, but just if that's part of like, you know, basic healthcare also is in terms of helping someone function better. And that ends up being relevant for all kinds of issues. But that we're going to go into more tomorrow as well. I think there's a lot of assumption that, you know, if someone's, first of all, the people that can do anything is the dangerously ill. They can do anything, but if they're so ill, they might just not be able to, right? But they could, like, in all these cases, whatever we said can be done, it can be done by the person or for the person. But that is a good point.